It's here and now. Get a second opinion. We've all heard that when it comes to diagnosing and treating serious medical conditions. Now a new startup is giving a second opinion that's an aggregate of many, provided by a team of not just doctors, but researchers and information scientists who take in a patient's information and then analyze data to come up with recommendations. It's not cheap. It can run from a few thousand to hundreds of thousands of dollars. The magazine VentureBeat calls it personalized healthcare for the 1%. But MetaMed's founders argue, well, they argue what? Let's find out. In a moment, a happy client. But first, we start with Sarah Constantine. She heads up research and analysis for MetaMed. She's working on her doctorate in math at Yale University. And Sarah, what is the argument of the company? What do you hope to provide?
Well, we generally work with patients who have gone to a lot of doctors and not been able to find anything that can help them. They get conflicting information. The average doctor's visit in America only lasts 11 minutes. They don't get enough personalized attention. So what we do is we collect their medical records, give that to a team of scientists and doctors to actually see for the patient, for their personal background and demographics and genes and symptoms, what kinds of medical treatments actually show evidence of effectiveness and what's been debunked, what's actually not very good. We have the time and the resources and the expertise to go through that information in more detail than you're likely to get through any kind of conventional system.
Well, one presumes that if you have a serious illness, that your doctor is taking your information and then going, let's say it's within a hospital, let's say it's a major medical center, they are going to a team within the hospital and they're, with the experience they've had with that particular cancer or whatever it is, they're also doing that same kind of aggregate.
That does happen. On the other hand, some of the things we've found have been, for example, we might find a drug that hasn't been used commonly, but there's papers 30 years ago that said it was effective, and it turns out to still be effective. For some reason that has to do with incentives in pharmaceutical companies, something might fall out of favor or go overlooked, not come to the forefront unless you have somebody checking the details.
Well, you've had about 20 clients so far at MetaMed. Let's bring in one of them. He is Sandor Gardos. He's also a doctor. He's a psychologist. He joins us from San Francisco. And Dr. Gardos, just as much as you want to share, what was your situation? Why did you turn to MetaMed?
Well, I developed a condition that was completely resistant to anyone finding the cause or any viable treatments for over 2 years. And I had seen about 80 doctors, including some of the best of the best. And there was nowhere else to go. And a friend turned me on to MetaMed. And of all the people I saw, they were the ones that helped me figure out what was actually going on. They're the only ones that provided viable treatment. And it's the first time I have hope. They've been extraordinary. I mean, I remember going to a number of people who, up to Nobel Prize laureates, and them saying, "You're out of my league." And I said, "I thought you were the league." And basically no one had any ideas of what to do.
And again, I don't mean to pry, you know, only as much as you want to share, but
it's a neurologic condition. It is related to dopamine and also has manifestations dermatologically.
What are your symptoms?
My symptoms are most akin to a form of atypical Parkinsonism plus.
So a Parkinson's-like. Let's bring Sarah Constantine back in, again, of MetaMed. Where does you're studying for your doctorate in math, so where does the math come in?
What we're developing, more or less medical AI, basically probabilistically, you can build statistical models. Given a person's symptoms, demographics, and so on, what's most likely to be wrong with them? What is the most likely treatment to help? So that's the part where my background has been coming in. I've been working on that.
Well, Dr. Gardos, obviously you're a happy client. Do you mind my asking, how much did you pay?
This was sort of a friend situation where they were extremely taken with my case and we got to know each other. And out of compassion, I have not paid.
Well, Sarah, we do understand that there is some financial aid offered by the company, mm-hmm. but by and large, this is costing $4,000 to $5,000 on average, we hear, but $250,000 for one person who needed it and had it, and it possibly was life saving. But what do you say to people who say you're getting investors, big name, big investors, instead of working towards these individuals? Why not work on a model that everybody can use?
There are a few parts to this question. First of all, that's exactly what we're doing. When we get this statistical modeling scaled up, that actually becomes a mass product.
So you're saying these people paying a lot up front now are laying the groundwork for what you hope to be something that can serve more?
Yeah. I mean, think about cell phones. Once they were a plaything for the rich, that was actually back when they were more primitive. Part of the other thing is that medical tech usually tries to start by associating with a hospital or with a public health perspective. That imposes some limitations right up front because you have to do it at a mass scale immediately. And we're actually trying to keep it personalized medical care from the very beginning, and eventually we would like to be able to extend it to everyone.
Well, it's interesting you say personalized medical care because one of the criticisms is that it's not, that it's part of the move to move away from doctors who are fallible and move towards algorithms and computers that the thought is are not. Of course, we saw in the financial crash, they are. But what do you say to that, that this is a part of moving away from a doctor who might know you, who might know that thing that no team of researchers can know and move away from the personal?
We're absolutely not trying to move away from doctors. We are not practicing medicine. But the current system requires doctors to not only be caregivers and practitioners and experts at treating the sick, but to also make them human encyclopedias. And that's impossible. The purely informational, what are the facts, ma'am? What's the math say? Is something we may be able to outsource. The personal, the actual practice of medicine is something that always belongs to doctors.
Well, I guess Dr. Gardos will give you the last word. You're still working on your situation. The other thought is disseminating this information. Have you even had time to go back to some of these 80 other doctors to say to them, we found it?
I'd like to have the definitive, here it is, absolutely, here's what worked, in case and when you get someone like this again. Absolutely going to do that. I hope that this helps other people.
Well, and our best to you because you're still fighting this thing.
Yes, but I'm getting very close thanks to them.
That's Dr. Sandor Gardos, a psychologist speaking to us from San Francisco, and Sarah Constantine, Vice President of Research and Analysis at the personalized medical research firm MediMed. She joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.